And then... Crouchy's head rolled on his neck, and an insane grin spread across his face. My master came for me. He arrived at our house late one night, in the arms of his servant Wormtail. My master had found out that I was still alive. He had captured Bertha Jorkins in Albania. He had tortured her. She told him a great deal. She told him about the Tri-Wizard Tournament. She told him the old Aura Moody was going to teach at Hogwarts. He tortured her until he broke through the memory charm my father had placed upon her. She told him I had escaped from Azkaban. She told him my father kept me imprisoned to prevent me seeking my master. And so my master knew that I was still his faithful servant, perhaps the most faithful of all. My master conceived a plan based upon the information Bertha had given him. He needed me. He arrived at our house near midnight. My father answered the door. The smile spread wider over Crouchy's face, as though recalling the sweetest memory of his life. Winky's petrified brown eyes were visible through her fingers. She seemed too appalled to speak. It was very quick. My father was placed under the imperious curse by my master. Now my father was the one imprisoned, controlled. My master forced him to go about his business as usual, to act as though nothing was wrong, and I was released. I awoke. I was myself again, alive as I hadn't been in years.
"And what did Lord Voldemort ask you to do?" said Dumbledore.
He asked me whether I was ready to risk everything for him. I was ready. It was my dream, my greatest ambition, to serve him, to prove myself to him. He told me he needed to place a faithful servant at Hogwarts, a servant who would guide Harry Potter through the Tri-Wizard Tournament without appearing to do so, a servant who would watch over Harry Potter, ensure he reached the Tri-Wizard Cup, turn the cup into a portkey, which would take the first person to touch it to my master. But first,
you needed Alistair Moody, said Dumbledore.
His blue eyes were blazing, though his voice remained calm. Wormtail and I did it. We had prepared the polyjuice potion beforehand. We journeyed to his house. Moody put up a struggle. There was a commotion. We managed to subdue him just in time, forced him into a compartment of his own magical trunk, took some of his hair and added it to the potion. I drank it. I became Moody's double. I took his leg and his eye. I was ready to face Arthur Weasley when he arrived to sort out the muggles who had heard a disturbance. I made the dustbins move around the yard. I told Arthur Weasley I had heard intruders in my yard who had set the dustbins off. Then I packed up Moody's clothes and dark detectors, put them in the trunk with Moody, and set off for Hogwarts. I kept him alive under the imperious curse. I wanted to be able to question him, to find out about his past, learn his habits, so that I could fool even Dumbledore. I also needed his hair to make the polyjuice potion. The other ingredients were easy. I stole Boomslang skin from the dungeons. When the potions master found me in his office, I said I was under orders to search it.
"And what became of Wormtail after you attacked Moody?" said Dumbledore.
"Wormtail returned to care for my master in my father's house and to keep watch over my father."
"But your father escaped," said Dumbledore.
"Yes. After a while he began to fight the imperious curse just as I had done. There were periods where he knew what was happening. My master decided it was no longer safe for my father to leave the house. He forced him to send letters to the ministry instead. He made him write and say he was ill. But Wormtail neglected his duty. He was not watchful enough. My father escaped. My master guessed that he was heading for Hogwarts. My father was going to tell Dumbledore everything, to confess.
he was going to admit that he had smuggled me from Azkaban. My master sent me word of my father's escape. He told me to stop him at all costs, so I waited and watched. I used the map I had taken from Harry Potter, the map that had almost ruined everything. "Map?" said Dumbledore quickly. "What map is this?"
"Potter's map of Hogwarts. Potter saw me on it. Potter saw me stealing more ingredients for the polyjuice potion from Snape's office one night. He thought I was my father, as we have the same first name. I took the map from Potter that night. I told him my father hated dark wizards. Potter believed my father was after Snape. For a week I waited for my father to arrive at Hogwarts. At last, one evening, the map showed my father entering the grounds. I pulled on my invisibility cloak and went down to meet him. He was walking around the edge of the forest. Then Potter came, and Crum. I waited. I could not hurt Potter. My master needed him. Potter ran to get Dumbledore. I stunned Crum. I killed my father."
"No!" wailed Winky. "Master Barty! Master Barty, what is you saying?"
"You killed your father," Dumbledore said, in the same soft voice. "What did you do with the body?"
"Carried it into the forest. Covered it with the invisibility cloak. I had the map with me. I watched Potter run into the castle. He met Snape. Dumbledore joined them. I watched Potter bringing Dumbledore out of the castle. I walked back out of the forest, doubled round behind them, went to meet them. I told Dumbledore Snape had told me where to come. Dumbledore told me to go and look for my father. I went back to my father's body, watched the map. When everyone was gone, I transfigured my father's body. He became a bone. I buried it, while wearing the invisibility cloak, in the freshly dug earth in front of Hagrid's cabin." There was complete silence now, except for Winky's continued sobs. Then Dumbledore said, "And tonight?"
"I offered to carry the Triwizard Cup into the maze before dinner," whispered Barty Crouch. "Turned it into a portkey. My master's plan worked. He is returned to power, and I will be honoured by him beyond the dreams of wizards." The insane smile lit his features once more, and his head drooped onto his shoulder, as Winky wailed and sobbed at his side.